Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, HSP, share number 31. Highly sensitive people, share number 31. So Judith Orloff has a chapter on empaths and work, and that empaths, it's important that they do everything they can to try to be as comfortable as possible in their work environment to thrive, and in the right working environment, they could thrive. It could often be very challenging. Sometimes it's important, obviously, like at Chila initially, to try to find meaningful work that suits your personality. But even if not, if that doesn't happen, to work towards making it as meaningful as possible. It's important to learn how to handle the work environment pertaining to, you know, noise and conflicts and office politics, and to try to really create healthy borders with that and not allow that to affect your life in any profound way. Like we explained, most likely these high adrenaline competitive jobs, let's say on Wall Street and things like that, are not ideal for a sensitive person. The high strung type jobs, it's better to have more of a calmer environment type job, a slower paced job if possible, and to be very careful with employees, coworkers that could be like the vampire, emotional vampires we discussed two shiurim ago, that if they exist in your workplace, to be very careful shielding yourself from them, and to honor your physical space and insist on your physical space that should be safe and healthy. Now, empaths have this risk as they absorb at work the stresses in their environment. Catch other people's emotions. It's called emotional contagion, where if an employee, for example, around you is anxious or panic, it could spread like a virus through the whole office, but a sensitive person senses it even more than the rest. So a cubicle or a glass partition, that helps a lot, but it's very important to do everything you can to set those boundaries at work. We could go through, she goes through what's the best jobs for empaths, ideally. And obviously, if someone has the ability to do that, they're still in schooling, or they have the ability to choose what they do, to work on types of ways that people-oriented, and sometimes if you work remotely and alone, or alone in an office, you know, in a quiet, it'll help you as far as the quietness is concerned, but be careful not to isolate yourself too much or push yourself too hard. So that's the idea behind it. There's certain jobs that, of course, are much more difficult for empaths if it's very high noise type jobs and stressful types jobs. So if it's also important to do everything you can to prevent burnout and fatigue, you know, that you take breaks sometimes, you leave your place and you take a walk maybe outside and take some breaks in between, and don't overbook yourself if you have clients, don't overdo the work, try your best to eat as healthy as possible, create a serene workspace if you could, set boundaries like we said, and make sure you have also a healthy, rich life outside of work as well. That definitely helps. She has a chapter on a piece on sensitive people as therapists, to be very careful with that. And it's definitely a gift, but it really is important to make sure that your hyper empathy does not affect you negatively when you're dealing with clients, and not to take on a client's emotions as if it's your own. And so this is a chapter on work that she talks about. And then she talks about empaths and intuitions that have extraordinary perceptions, that some people actually do. Some actually are telepathic. They actually could really sense very strongly the emotions and thoughts of others. Some have sort of like a sense of feeling of what's going to take place. And she goes through various things about the teva of various empaths. You know, some are theoretical, so I don't want to get into it. Some are based on their personal experiences. And the key behind that chapter is really to protect yourself from the overload of it. Number one is really that no matter how high and strong your intuition is, it does not take place of regular healthy communication. Anything you could verify by facts and by knowledge or by asking people questions, you don't just rely on your empathetic intuition, but on the facts and what people tell you, and you listen to that as well. So you could gain confidence in your intuition, and that's a healthy thing, and develop it in a healthy way, but you need to be humble and realize that your intuition may be off, especially in pertaining to your own personal worries and fears. So that's the idea of protecting yourself from the overload of it, staying grounded. Then she talks about giving the gift of being an empath. They have a special, special gifts that are to be embraced. And there's benefits. The benefits of it, first of all, is the empathy that you have towards your, if you're married, your spouse's pain, or your children, or your coworkers, or people you interact with. And that empathy is a very healing thing. And very often, if you daven, again, that's part of Chachma being of a das, that your intuition should lead you in the right places. And by listening to your inner voice, you could pick up things and go in the right direction. Hashem will guide you in the right direction. And whenever you feel afraid, instead of putting yourself down or obsessing on the fear, you show compassion on yourself and helping other people. Power of feeling the tzibur, feeling the tzara of the tzibur, the community, is also very helpful. And with highly sensitive people, it's a very, very strong thing. So this is the last shiur I think we're going to give on this Judith Orloff book. But she goes through various protective strategies, healthy eating is a big part of what she writes about. Meditating, in our case, is basically tefillah. And she goes, some things are like sort of, very into the spirit stuff, and not everything is exactly Alpitairan, and the way she writes is with gemstones. I don't know much about those type of things, so I'm not going to get into those type of alternative things. But the protecting yourself from emotionally unhealthy people, again, she does stress again on protecting yourself from these unhealthy emotional vampires that we discussed 2 shiurim ago. She has a separate section called Protection Strategies Against Them, a big section on how to protect yourself from narcissists, which is lowering your expectation of their emotional capabilities, to work very hard not to allow yourself to be manipulated by them. Don't expect them to respect your sensitivities. They're very cold. And avoid, be careful with your feelings towards them, and being careful to avoid working for narcissistic employers. And if you have it, how to handle it properly. You may have to stroke their ego at times in a certain tact. Practicing cutting off, visualization that you're cutting off from them, that you don't get emotionally connected from, to it, and not let it disturb you as much as possible. And then she talks about rageaholics and from victim mentality and drama queens and control freaks. So she goes again through this in a summary type form, how to protect yourself from all these people, passive aggressive, and all these other things, and how to work on things when you are overwhelmed by the stimulation of everything. And again, a section on work, a section on therapy, a section on how to protect yourself from the overload. A big yesod of all of this is that we're not all alone. You communicate as best as you could with other people that are also highly sensitive, or those that understand it that well, so that you can work through those type of things. And recognize your own nature and do your best you can with it. So even when you interact with people, for example, you have different levels of interacting with them, which we started to talk about. There's small talk and superficial interactions. which extroverts, you know, enjoy that. Oh, it's cold here, it's raining, it's delicious, pretty shoes, you know. Highly sensitive people can be frustrated on those small talk aspects. You have to know how to handle that. And then there's deeper layers of conversation, and then it leads ultimately to more private conversations, more intimate conversations, and then direct interactions. So one needs to be Asiyata Deshamaya and work very hard to who you bring into your sphere. So the idea is, when you invite someone into your personal space, you have to really, really, you know, ask Siyata Deshamaya and be as best as you could cautious with this, and make sure only healthy people go into that realm. Anger is an issue with highly sensitive people. It's very difficult. Anger, we don't know how to deal with it that well, both in ourselves and in others. Sometimes we could tend to be passive aggressive, where we don't express our anger in a direct way. That could also be an unhealthy thing. So the idea is that we do need to work on how to handle our anger, and we have to learn how to use our abilities to empathize and to handle and manage the anger. So it's very, very important to be aware of that. Sometimes that protects us, you know, it holds us back when we feel the person is, you know, not behaving the right way, and we express anger to remove ourselves from that. Another aspect that empaths have to struggle with and deal with is guilt and shame. Is very this relevant guilt, which is basically, you know, honestly telling yourself you did something that was problematic for someone else, and it's in proportion to what was done, and it's something that is healthy to understand in order to correct it. But then there's the excessive guilty feelings that are disproportionate and exaggerated, that many empaths and highly sensitive people have that problem. So there is the relevant guilt, which is healthy. You apologize when you need to. You own up to your responsibilities of things. But then there's excessive guilt feelings. And that really, really, really is a big, big factor on with HSPs. They have a rough time with that. And they feel a tremendous amount of shame. And they just feel like there's a tremendous amount of shame in their sensitivity. And they shamed about, for example, when you wish internally people would go away, or you're not good at quick comebacks to respond back when people ask you questions, or you don't join the rat race that everyone is joining, and you can't shrug off things as easily as others. It penetrates you, and you get tired and exhausted before other people do because of the overload. So all of this creates a certain guilt, and we have to know and learn how to overcome it, and how to handle relationships better, because when you're highly sensitive, relationship issues are issues, whether it's regarding a highly sensitive parent. There's exhaustion that could happen. There's depression that could happen. Again, these are real challenges. It's not something that could crush us or make us feel a despair, because it's something that when we work on in a normal way, we could thrive. We have to understand our sensitized nervous system, and to understand to protect it, to develop, to grow, to love yourself, to support yourself in a way where you're going to be compassionate towards yourself, not to be complacent, but as a vehicle to move forward. And to have, we'll be Messiah with this concept, the joy of becoming yourself, your best possible self. It's very, very important to recognize that. Ultimately, it is a gift. It comes with challenges, but it's a tremendous gift. Okay, so even if we struggle more in our daily lives because of our highly sensitive nervous system, but we could utilize it as a gift for ourselves, as a gift for others. It expands our perception of things. And there's so many things we could do. Read healthy books, healthy outlets, spending time with children, working on activities that would not get us overstimulated. Being in nature is a big part of it. is a beautiful thing. A lot of people appreciate nature when they're highly sensitive, or appreciate music, or write books, write poems, letters, or diaries, or read them and enjoy them and rest yourself and rest and contemplate. And some people enjoy the presence of calm animals, some don't, but you work your way through whatever works for you. Bracha v'hatzlacha.